So with that in mind, if you could find our text for today, it's Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 16 and verse 20. You might remember that this month, because we are celebrating 3 years of existence, we are particularly emphasizing the work and the value and the ministry of the church. So we're going to pick up that theme here in Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. If you're able to stand, would you please do that? I want to read the word of God in your hearing. And then we'll bow together to seek God's help in understanding what he says here. Beginning at verse number 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, mm-hmm. clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. Verse 14. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Mm-hmm. And then finally, verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the privilege now to study together, to learn from you, to hear from you. We ask you to help us now to understand the truth of your word. And then, Lord, help us to correctly apply it to our lives, and then help us to order our lives in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All right. Just quickly, to kind of summarize this section of scripture that we just read. In verse 9, you will see that the Apostle John has been exiled. He's been sent as a means of punishment to this island called Patmos. And he's sent there because he was... A leader in these churches in Asia Minor, okay? He sent there, he calls it for, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, okay? He was in a hostile environment, and as a result, he is punished. John, this is wonderful, John was worshiping in the power of the Holy Spirit on Sunday, right? When the resurrected Jesus appeared to him. This is wonderful.
Amen.
The resurrected Jesus. This brother is, they're punishing him. They think they've isolated him and that they can make, that he's no further use. This brother still finds that he can worship Jesus just as much on an island in the midst of heathens as he can in a church full of believers, because Jesus is still the same. So he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
And Jesus met me. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, spoke to him, and Jesus told John to write this letter to these seven little churches that were there in Asia Minor, and he told this letter was written so that they would be blessed, right? They'd be blessed if they read it and heeded and did what this book told them to do, all right? So that's the way we need to approach. Now, this is not a study of Revelation today. We may do that in the immediate future. But today, we're looking at the truth here for the church, okay? And so, this because we're to be blessed as we read and obey this letter. Now, Jesus, in verses 13 through 15, is really revealed as a priest and a judge. Mm-hmm. And I won't take you through all those details, but that's the whole idea. But his dress, is the kind of apparel that a priest would wear. But then you see his feet with burnished bronze and that kind of thing. It's the whole idea of being a judge. That's judgment. You find that kind of terminology in the scriptures. And you know that, right? Jesus is the high priest. He's also the judge. He's the final judge. And so that's the issue right here. He's sympathetic to his church, but he's the one that has the final judgment when it comes to his church, right? And so then in verses 16 and 20, you see that the seven churches are revealed as lampstands, and the seven leaders in the churches are revealed as stars or angels. Okay? We good? And so that's where we're going to begin today. With that background, I want to try to gather my thoughts around these two major ideas. God is the source of light, right? And the church is to be the steward of God's light, right? God is the source. We are the stewards, right? And so, remember last week we saw that the church is God's household, right? Mm-hmm. This week we're looking at this principle. The church is God's light. Mm-hmm. Okay? God's light. Mm-hmm. Alright? So let's begin. Now I know some of you were with me a number of months ago when we looked at light, so some of this will be familiar to some of you all. But I want everybody to be together, all right? So let's think about natural light as we begin. Natural light, the world was created and the world began in darkness, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness, right, was over the deep. Darkness was there. And so in God's wonderful creation, as it all began, it was created in darkness. That's how it began, right? And so then if you'll go to Genesis 1, you'll notice that in verse 3, we find out that on the first day, God created light. There was no light before God created light. Okay? Just as there was no heaven and earth before God created it, there was no light. But you see verse 3, Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So on the first day of creation, God created light. Okay? Now, stay with me now. This is not the sun, moon, and stars. God created light before he created the sun, the moon, and stars. Right? So, this is a wonderful encouragement to us to know where it all began. And likewise, it's encouragement to know this. Darkness is no challenge for God.
Yeah.
Right? Darkness cannot prevent God from accomplishing his will. Right? And so, I want to lay down these facts as we think about why light is important to us. So on the first day, God created light. Now stay with me. We don't find God creating the sun, moon, and stars until day 4. You with me?
Amen.
On day 1,
He created light. There was what? Darkness. And in the midst of that darkness, God said what? Let there be light. And guess, and you know what happens. Whatever God says, let there be, there must be. Right? And so light came into being. No power plants, no candles. It's just God says light, and there is. Right? But now we make our way to day 4. You got that? Can you find verse 14? So Genesis 1 and verse 14 says, "And God said, let there be lights," plural. You getting this? In the, on the first day, he created light. Light in general. On the we're going to find it. This is the fourth day. On the fourth day, he said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Now you notice what's happening here. God has created these lights, or if you will, these luminaries. And he's created them for what? A purpose. He said the purpose of these luminaries is to distinguish light from day and to distinguish seasons. And you get it? So God doesn't just superfluously create stuff. Anything God creates has a what? Purpose. Purpose. There are no ancillary things in the world. Everything and everyone that God created has a purpose. This is important, right? Yes. This is important. So, so you see that in verse 14. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And look at verse 15. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. Now, that's biblical terminology. You know what that means, right? The greater light is what? The sun. The lesser light is the moon. And then he says, then he speaks of the stars explicitly. You see that? And the stars. Verse 17, and God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the what? Fourth day. Day one, God creates light in general. Day 4, God creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. We all together? All right. So remember what we're learning together. God is the source of light. In this particular case, we're looking at natural light. Okay? Natural light. So the point I'd make with you as we leave this is that there is not and there cannot be natural light apart from God. He created it, right? If God had not created light, there would not have been light. We together? So the reason we have natural light is because of God. And the moon, the sun and the moon, the stars are just one example. No maintenance plan. Isn't that amazing? They've never been tweaked. God set it in place and it's been working.
All right. That's right.
Devil can't mess with it. People can't mess with it. It's fine. Right? So the next thing that we want to see is that not only is God the source of natural light, God is also the source of spiritual light. Spiritual life, if you will, and spiritual light is only derived from being joined to God. It's derived from being connected or being intimately aligned with God. Okay, He's the source, right? And so there can be no, because spiritual life comes from God, there can be no spiritual life without Him, right? I love the way Paul is finishing up that letter to Timothy, and the young pastor. He gets into the he just breaks. This is, I love Paul because Paul can be writing a letter, and it's like it gets so good to him. He gets, you remember how some preachers say, preach himself happy. Paul just breaks himself happy. He's writing a letter, and then he just breaks out into praise of God. And then finally, in 1 Timothy 6, he says that God, verse, I think it's 16, God alone possesses immortality. And he says, He dwells in unapproachable light. Yeah. No man has seen Him, and no man can. Hallelujah. He possesses immortality.
Right.
Yes. The only reason anything lives forever is because of God.
Amen.
God holds everything what? Together.
Yeah, right.
Before God there was nothing.
Uh-huh.
No one.
That's right.
All things were what? Made by Him. And for Him.
Yeah.
And without Him was nothing made that was made.
Yes, yes.
Huh? Yes. Wow, that's wonderful.
Yes, it is. Yes.
He's the source.
Yes.
He's the source.
Yes,
he, Christian, you got to remember that.
Well,
in this shady world that's trying to confuse you, get you to trust this thing. God. The proverb writer said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding.
All right, all right.
You figure the way it seems like it's going to work out to you.
Right.
You don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not the way it seems.
Amen, amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
The truth will what?
Yeah.
Set you free.
Amen.
So, God is the source. And then you know how James says it in James 1. Every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above, from what? The Father of
light.
Yes. The Father of light, in whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. He's the source.
Yeah.
You right? You got it?
Yeah.
That's a neat little verse. And can you turn to Ephesians 5 real quick? Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5. Yes. Got that? Ephesians 5:8. Listen to that. For at one time you, Paul is writing Christians now. He says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light where? In the Lord. You get it?
Yeah.
Now don't miss this. You were darkness. How did you get to be light, Willie? I got in what? The Lord. It's in Christ. That's how I got light, because that's what light, that's where spiritual light comes from.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm no longer in the dark. I was when I was doing my thing.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Ruining my life and everybody else's life.
Yeah.
I was in darkness. Now, do you notice this? The Bible does not just say you were in darkness.
Uh-huh.
What does it say?
You were.
You were.
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Glory.
You were. It wasn't just what I, you know, people often, when they look at Sodom and Gomorrah, there's always this confusion about why they were that way. And I like the way Tony, what's Tony's name in the Dallas?
Evans.
I like the way Tony Evans says this. Sinners do what sinners do.
Right.
So, yes, sir.
Why do sinners sin? That's what sinners do.
Right.
It's to expect righteousness from a sinner is
amen.
It's just a false expectation.
Uh-huh.
It ain't gonna happen.
That's
like expecting a dead stump to live.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so he says, "You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord."
Right.
I say that to every Christian in here. You are light in the Lord. You've been joined to Him.
Yeah.
You not only are in the light, you are light in Him.
Uh-huh.
just as you were darkness when you were a slave of Satan. And saying that I don't have to get high. I don't have to do it again. I don't have to do that. But you did. Why? Because you were a slave to him. Amen. You were darkness.
Yeah.
You were darkness thinking that you're not hooked, that you're not an addict, that you're not. That's darkness. Uh-huh. Darkness keeps you what? Deceived. You remember Jordan? Darkness puts you in a position where you can't see others and you can't see what's happening to yourself. Right? You're blind. The Bible says you were blinded.
Yes.
Right? And so, spiritual light. Now, Christian, we are blessed.
Yes, we are.
We are blessed.
Yes.
And so, God is the source. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Adam and Eve were created with spiritual life in them.
Uh-huh.
Adam and Eve were created with spiritual light in them, right? But it came from God.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know? Well, the Bible gives you this picture. They walk with God. They fellowship with him, right? In the cool of the day, God showed up just like he did every day. He came to have his walk and his talk with Adam and Eve. They fellowship. They were in the light. They walked in the light with God. Right?
Wow.
Because that's the way God created.
Amen. Amen.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
But now, darkness is separation from God. See, light is being joined to him. Having fellowship with him, then darkness is just the opposite. It's being separated from God. You cannot have spiritual life if you have been separated from the source of spiritual life. Right? And of course, we see that in Genesis 3. And God alone is the only one that can restore light back to one who has been separated or lost or blind. Okay? It cannot come from you just saying a sinner's prayer, or and I'm not being critical, or just reading a card, or making a vow. God, that's the reason. See, being born again is a miracle.
Right?
Yeah. I know I've been changed. You didn't know me when this, what came out of this mouth, what went in this mouth, and what you didn't know me.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. So I know a miracle had to be worked out in my life.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so when you've been separated from God, it takes a mighty miracle. He has to restore you back to that place, right?
Amen.
Again, you remember we looked at Ephesians 5:8. You were darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. How did you get there? God had to do it.
Amen.
Because I'm in darkness, I can't see.
Amen.
Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you what? Been born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You don't know which way the kingdom of God is.
Amen.
Wow. Isn't that right, sir? So it doesn't matter that you say, well, I want to be saved. Well, wait, what are you going to do? That's the reason people came to Jesus thinking they wanted to be saved until they found out what it required. So a lot of people think they want to be saved until they see what's required.
Uh-huh.
It's like you got the Boy Scouts got a big drive going on now, right? With the canned goods and that kind of thing. And sadly, many people, well, you know the story. What do many people get?
What they don't want.
They give things that are old, that they wouldn't use themselves. Okay? And that's the way some people think of when it comes to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if I'm going to come to Jesus, I'm going to give up some stuff that really ain't going to hurt me.
Right.
And that's the way the rich young ruler was. Right? You know, Lord, I pretty much got it together. So what else do I need to do to be saved? But Jesus says, well, go sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Then you can come and follow me. That ain't that serious.
Right.
Saved really ain't that serious. That's what I'm saying. So to be saved, to be joined to the light, your eyes have to be open to see.
Yes.
That stuff I'm trying to hang on to, it ain't worth it.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
This is the, you remember, all of those little stories Jesus would talk about, the lost coin and the pearl of a value and that whole thing. What was the point? Those things were more precious.
Uh-huh.
Salvation is the most precious thing there is. Now,
Amen.
Quickly, let's turn to Colossians 1. Can you turn there with me real quick? I know I've been laboring a little longer than I had planned, but I wanted you to see this. You got Colossians 1? Look at these wonderful verses here. Verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. That's it right there. We had to be delivered and we had to be transferred.
Amen.
You see?
Amen. Amen.
Who did that? God did it. That's the reason we praise him.
Amen.
Praise him.
Yeah.
He's the one that's the book of Revelation, worthy of honor and blessing and power and dominion, authority and riches. Why? Because he saved us.
Yeah.
He saved us. Mm. All right. You all got this, right? God is the source of light. There is not and there cannot be any spiritual light apart from God. I thought of this analogy, which is very common for all of us. You walk into a really dark, a black room. Now, I don't mean just with some light coming. It's a room, and you might have this sometimes at your home. You get home, and you walk in, and you see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you do? You start feeling for what?
A light switch.
Mm-hmm. Feeling for the light switch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I want you to think about. Because without that light, you really can't see how to make your way through the room. But now here's the issue. Even as desperately as you are clinging for that switch, the switch is not the source.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The switch does not provide light.
All right.
The source is somewhere distant from your home, maybe many miles.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same in the kingdom of God. We have to remember that God is always the source, regardless of who he uses.
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen.
And thank God he uses many of us.
Amen.
Salvation is what? Of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God you can be a switch.
Yeah. Amen.
To bring some light
Amen.
Into people's lives.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Thank God for the privilege
yeah.
of being able to just turn on a little light
oh, yeah.
in this hopeless situation. But never take the credit.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The praise, what? Always belongs to God.
Yeah.
He's the source. Y'all got that?
Amen.
All right. Quickly, let's look at our second point then. And so, again, I remind you that there can be no natural or spiritual light apart from God. Our second great thought then is this. Now, I know I labored on that a lot, but I wanted to have that solidified in your heart. The light comes from God. So that no one gets puffed up or arrogant about any work that we do in the light, okay? God is the source. But we are stewards. Right?
Amen.
God is the source, and this is the way I wanted to try to work it out real quick. First of all, the Word of God is light. In the Old and New Testament, the Word of God is depicted as light. You remember the Psalm 119? Your Word is a what? Lamp to my feet and a what?
Light
to my back.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
There are many places in the Old Testament where the Word of God is depicted as what? Light. So you get the picture there, right? The Word of God helps me to what? See. It opens up things so I can see and understand. There's another wonderful verse. Can you find 2 Peter? 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Listen to this. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a, look at this, lamp shining in a, what, dark place. The Word of God is described as a what? Lamp shining in a dark place. Don't miss that. Until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. That's such a beautiful picture. You know, if you're talking to someone who's lost, someone who has issues and looking for answers, you got to remember that the Word of God is the only thing that's going to help them until Jesus Christ, what? Rises.
Amen.
In their hearts. The Word of God will at least bring some light so they can see. And then that light will open up, hopefully open up for them to see Christ if they will just receive Him. So, in the Old and New Testament, the Word of God is depicted as light. Now, this is the reason I went to this text to begin with. Churches in Revelation 1 are depicted as what? Lampstands. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Churches in Revelation 1 are depicted as lampstands, or if you will, vessels in which light is placed. You've seen them, probably the more typical one is the Jewish menorah. Is that what it's called, menorah? You've seen those with the various arms on them, and you know they put light or candles in them, right? And so that's the whole idea. The church is a lampstand in which light is placed.
All right.
Not our light. Right? But we serve as light.
Yeah, right.
That's our what? Purpose?
Yeah.
That's our purpose? The lampstand has to shine,
yeah,
or else it's of no value. It's what you were made for,
yeah,
right?
Amen.
So the churches are depicted as lampstands. You getting the picture?
Amen.
Then, believers, if you will, are depicted as vessels in which the light is placed. So can you go to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 5. This is a very familiar passage to most of you. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God and what? Not to us. God uses these fragile jars of clay. He deposits this light of the gospel in us and uses us to do this powerful work.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boom. This is miraculous.
Yeah.
We're all in my thoughts.
Uh-huh. All right, all right.
I like to, there's this, I don't remember who it was, but there was some woman that she had this line in her presentation. She said she talked about people being crackpots. And that's the whole idea. We're just cracked pots. Fragile vessels. But God says, I'm going to take all of those weak vessels,
yeah,
that believe in Jesus.
All right.
And I'm going to use you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't look like much to other folks.
Well,
but see, God doesn't what? Look.
Yeah.
On the
look.
Outside. God knows what He's done. What? Inside.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because this is passing away.
Yes, it is.
Soon it won't matter anyway.
Because
I'm going to get a new one.
All right, all right.
Right? I'm looking forward to the new one.
Yes.
No glasses.
Well,
no false teeth. No, you know, any hard hearing. Yeah, this is a crack pot. And it's falling apart. The scriptures give this picture of this man where his front gate's falling out,
You don't know what that is, right? Begin to lose teeth and six of his hair. That's us, right? We're just frail, cracked, pop. You look in the mirror every day. Mm-hmm. You see. Mm-hmm. Right? But God uses, he puts light inside like those vessels.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
This is wonderful now.
Yes, it is.
And he says, I'm going to trust you with it.
Yeah.
This is the most precious thing you've ever had.
Glory.
You've never possessed anything that could save somebody's soul.
Amen.
That could affect their eternal future.
Yeah.
And I'm
yes.
going to trust what? You.
Right. Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm.
Amen.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust you with it.
Uh-huh.
Wow, this is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Now the scriptures are spiritual light in a world filled with darkness. We saw that 2 Peter 1. I won't read that whole context for you. They're 19 through 21. The scriptures shine as light in this world filled with darkness. And so here's a concluding statement that I want to read to you. I want you to think about. The scriptures give light. And you know when I say light, hopefully you grasp that I'm talking about understanding, right? The scriptures give what? Understanding. And all you're getting, get what? Understanding.
Amen.
Get it? And the scriptures will give it to you, right? There are many people who think they're wise. But God says that he makes foolishness out of that.
That's right.
And he uses that which people consider to be foolish. That is, in fact, the wisdom of God. And so he makes you wise. So the scriptures give light or understanding in pleasing God. It gives you, it teaches you how to please God. You learn that what? From the scriptures.
Yes.
The scriptures tell you, no one can, Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No one comes to the Father but by me. Now it doesn't matter what other people say. That's you got light on that subject right there.
Amen.
You personally want to know how to be saved? You don't have to sell books.
Well, all right.
You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to. What do you have to do?
Believe.
You have to believe in Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, thank God that there are many wonderful things that come after that.
Right.
But you don't have to do that what? To be saved.
All right now. Say that.
There's a whole lot of wonderful graces and gifts of the Spirit. And wonderful things happen after that. We're not talking about what happens afterwards. You need light to tell people how to be saved. How to live in bondage. Jesus told those Pharisees, you're putting a weight on these people.
Yeah.
Packing on all this stuff.
Yeah.
Christians are getting saved.
Yeah.
You gotta sit on the morning, bitch. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. No!
All right.
The scriptures get what? Light.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. He who has the Son has the what? Light! Scripture, give understanding.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can't let people tell you how to be saved.
Well, all right.
God is the only one.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Remember when we started? God is the source.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The source comes and he puts light in you and he says, you go take the light to others.
All right.
Don't go take something else. Don't mix something in with what? The light.
Yeah.
The light came from me. I put it in you. You go take that light to the people. That's the purpose of the lampstand.
Amen.
If you're not going to shine, you're going to start mixing stuff in with your light. Now you're confusing folks.
That's right.
They need to see pure light.
That's right.
All right.
All right. I know this is long. We wanted to get this truth solidified. So the word of God is light. And then finally, the believer's life is light.
Amen.
Okay? Now remember what I told you. God is the source. We are the stewards.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So now, the word, I mean, the believer's life then works its way out this way. Mm-hmm. The believer is light, and the believer's lifestyle serves as light.
Amen.
Jesus said, you are what? The light of the world. Right? But he also said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they what? See your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are light, but your light needs to reflect light. In other words, do what you say, or be what you say. Don't be hearers of the word what? Only. Be hearers and doers. Right? This is who I am, and this is what I do because of who I am.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's the gospel message. And rather than telling, you know, family members and children now, don't do like I do. Do like I what? Come on. That's a cop out.
Yes.
Right? Because Jesus said your lifestyle is light too. Not just your message.
Right.
It's not just what you say. Mm-hmm. It's also what you do.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because he's put light in you.
Amen. Preach.
And people are not only watching or listening to what you say, they are what?
Watching what you
say.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason we're stewards. Each member individually and collectively as a church is light to show the character of God in our daily living.
Amen.
Each member.
Daily.
So, now think about this. All of us, every day, we're out in all kinds of different venues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons that Trinity, I try to remind us of that. You know, Sunday's a wonderful day. We come together to worship. But we got all these other days that we've got to live for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That's when people, you know, there are very few folks see us on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole lot of people that see us on the rest of the day.
Right.
And so it's our daily life where this is worked out. And I can't just skirt over these verses. I want to read them, all right? You want to read them real quick. Can you, and let's just find them. Can you find Acts 13 and verse 47? Acts 13, verse 47. This is when Paul is making this great confession. For the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You see that? I made you a light. Christian, that's the truth. God made you a light when he saved you, and he kept you on the same job.
All right.
He made you a light when he saved you and kept you in the same household.
Uh-huh.
Made you a light when he saved you and kept you in the same neighborhood.
All right.
Right? You know the scenario. In all those venues that he continues to send you, he says, I made you a light for them.
Uh-huh.
Stop thinking you got to go somewhere else. Okay?
Amen.
I made you a light for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
When I called you, I knew where you lived.
Amen.
I knew where you worked.
Yeah.
I knew where you spent your time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's folks there that need the light too.
Amen.
Amen.
They knew you before, and they know you've been changed.
Yeah,
right?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying. Amen. Philippians 2:15. I'll just read verse 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Among whom you shine as what? Lights in the world. God knows that you function among people who've got twisted minds and twisted motives. And he knows all that. He knows all of those. He knows your family members trying to take advantage of you. He knows all that. And he said, I want you to shine anywhere.
Amen.
They think you're stupid.
Lord.
You know how that works. They lost their head and become a Christian. We can take advantage of that. God says, shine anywhere.
Yeah.
Amen.
They don't even know. They don't even understand that you bring bringing light to them. Yeah. They think that they just got a woman. That $50, they thought they just got a woman.
Right. Glory.
They don't realize what you brought into their life.
Right?
Yeah.
Shine
on anyway.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5:5. For you are children of light, children of day. We are not of the night or the darkness. Just a reminder. Praise God. Amen. And then finally, 1 John 1:5-7. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. The church is to be a place of honesty. The church is to be a place of humility. The church, now the church is a place of light. In light, we're honest. In the light, we're humble. In the light, we confess. The church is to be a place of confession. The church is to be a place of grace and truth, right? That's what happens when you come in the light. And so when people can see, that's what they want to see. I know how to be slick. I need to see something different. The church needs to be, right? I don't need you to teach me how to be slick. Knew that before I met you. I'm good at that.
Right.
I need something different.
Yes.
I need to see something real.
Right.
That's what people are looking for. Right. Someone real.
Yeah.
Churches be that place.
Mm. That's right.
Place where there's truth and love and joy and peace. You know all those things. Here. We don't just talk. You don't just tell me, I got it. It was given to me. I didn't figure out something God gave me. Well, people at work, they used to come, you're indifferent. I'm not indifferent. Just that God tells me not to work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Now, that looks like indifference. But it's not indifferent. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not concerned. But I don't waste a lot of energy on something I can't
change. That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Right? People need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? They need to see that, right? In the light.
Mm-hmm.
You tell people to come on, walk in the light with me. Well, they need to see something that's real. We have both the great privilege and responsibility to be good stewards of this light. But we must be faithful. We must be faithful stewards. We must be diligent. We must be discerning. We must be determined to do this until the end.
Yeah.
The Word of God and godly lifestyles in the church are to serve as light, leading people to Christ as we make disciples. Now, I don't want to run by this. I want to make this statement because I think it's important. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we see people mishandling the light that God gave them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From the beginning to the end, we see Adam and Eve, God created them with what? Light.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? They mishandled.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the end of the Bible, you see churches that have been given life and life. And what do you find? They're mishandled. That should not be our legacy. Our life shouldn't end by people looking at us saying, you started good, but you ended up a mess. That shouldn't be our legacy. Right? We're going to have to be faithful. We need to learn from the past. You've got to be alert. You've got to be faithful. As the moon reflects the natural light of the sun. Y'all do know that, right? The moon reflects the natural light of the sun. The church and people of God are to reflect the light of Christ. We good? We ought to reflect that light. So my brothers, my sisters, do you fully embrace the fact that God made you a light for Jesus? Do you embrace that with your heart? Do you embrace the fact that you are shining and reflecting his character for others to see? Can you, will you say amen to that?
Amen.
And accept it without reasoning through it. Just, it's a fact. You are a testimony. The question is, what kind of testimony are you? Can you rejoice in the privilege and responsibility of being a vessel for this light? A vessel for the light of the gospel message. Can you rejoice in that? You know where you came from. You know it. I know it. We know where we came from. It ought to bring you joy now to be used in this way. To be, what, an ambassador for Christ. Can you find joy even when you must suffer as a fragile vessel of light? When it causes problems in your life, when you go represent Christ, can you still find joy? Like those apostles, you remember when they rejoiced that they were considered, what, worthy to what? To suffer. For the name, for his great name. We are a truly blessed people. To be children of light and children of the day is wonderful. There's liberty in the light. Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's love in the light. There's peace and joy. What? In the light. That's what you want people to come over here. They need to see something. In the light, there's grace and mercy. In the light, there's deliverance and hope, strength. In the light, there's forgiveness and healing and cleansing and everything good. Where? In the light. Come over here. Come over here to the light. Therefore, walk in the light. The what? Beautiful light. Walk in it. Do you enjoy it? Is it good to your soul to know you're living in the light every day? You know the truth.
Yes.
Do you find real joy?
Yes.
Walk with Jesus.
Amen.
Talk with him.
Yes, yes.
Fellowship with him.
Yes.
Commune with him. In the word, in prayer. Right?
Amen.
Get in his presence every day. Because in his presence is what?
Fullness
of joy. And in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the light. In the light. And if you're not a Christian, I'm inviting you to come to Christ right now. We've spent a lot of time talking about how wonderful it is in the light. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not in the light. You can be around the light and still not be in it. You can enjoy the light and still not be what? In it. Jesus once told a man who came to him, You almost made it in. But almost is what? It's not in there. It's not even. That's like telling a runner in a race, you almost won. Well, the objective was to what? Win. Almost doesn't get it. So, my friend, I invite you to come in the light today. Come to Christ. Trust him. Believe him. And you too can be saved. Father, thank you for all of your goodness and grace, the light that we come to know in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we're thankful that we have come to know him as Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards of this light that you have put in us, help us to live like Christ, to honor you with our lives daily. And then I just pray, Lord, that someone today, that the gospel will reach someone's heart today, that you bring this light into someone's heart and soul, and that someone might humble themselves and trust Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.